Our reading is Matthew 22, verses 23 through 33. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, "Say, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to be to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching.
You are mistaken not knowing the scriptures. That's part of the Bible reading this morning. That continues our lesson concerning religious error that we started in our first hour this morning. And we want to continue looking at a few things from the New Testament and the Old that show that certainly God expects obedience. And it is easy for people to err from not obeying God when it comes to religious matters. It's also fairly easy for people to err from not obeying God in their daily lives and moral issues. So then, how do we find the answer? How do we get to doing the things that are correct and proper and right in the sight of God? Well, he gave the answer to the people. You do err not knowing the scriptures. They needed to know the scriptures, because in them there's eternal life. In the scriptures there is truth. In the scriptures there is directing. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul declared that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So it's the Scriptures. But the Scriptures alone cannot save. The blood of Christ saves when we, through the Word of God, hear and understand what Christ did for us. Romans 10, 17, "So that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So then, to be saved, we hear the Word of God, we believe by faith, and are baptized in the blood of Christ so that we can have our sins remitted, and then we're to walk in newness of life. And what do we do then? Well, Peter tells us that we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, that we should grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So religious error can be prevented. But the question is, will it be prevented? Will it be avoided? In many cases, it's not. Down through the ages, we've already looked this morning that it was not prevented, but it was engaged in. Although there were not a time probably when everyone was doing wrong, but most of the time. And in our day and time, it's not anything different. There are those who are in error religiously. And so it would benefit us as Christians to realize that we need to stay in the straight and narrow, that we would look at God's Word, obey His truth, apply it to our lives, so that we can avoid religious error in our life. We go back to where we ended this morning, there in Matthew chapter 22, and we look at verses 31 through 36 on the bottom of the slide. And I like just a little bit finishing that first lesson, so I'll finish it right now, and we get into the second part of it. And if we finish it today, we'll be through. If not, we'll have a third lesson next Sunday morning in this little series. So bear with me in the next 30 minutes, and we'll go as far as we can. Verses 31 through 36, Jesus tells them how their religious errors had brought them away from God, how that their attitudes had not been what they should have been, and the result was that they brought the rejection and the judgment of God on themselves because they were living and involving themselves in religious error. They erred because they did not know the scriptures. They erred because they were arrogant and wanted to have the chief places, and they wanted to look down on others. They wanted to require things on others that they would not do themselves. They erred because they did not humble themselves before God to submit to obey His word. So Jesus was sad when He looked around and saw God's people, the descendants of Abraham, in the shape they were in. Not all of them were in that shape, but He was sad because of their error, because of the stubbornness of their heart. God flashed back several hundred years, and we see that the thing that caused Israel to rebel was the stubbornness of their hearts. And still then, AD 1, the beginning of the time of Christ, just before Christ died and the new dispensation of time began, many of the remnant of the Jews there in Jerusalem, especially the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, were wrapped up in themselves. They were guilty of religious error, and they had these bad attitudes. And so Matthew 23:27-39 should be the verses that tell us that they were involved in things they were not involved in. They become guilty of religious error. And so, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the only way for them to correct their lives is to come back to God and listen. The only way for us to be right religiously today is go to God, listen to His word, and obey it so that we can please Him. So we need to study the word of God. We need to learn the word of God. We need to obey it ourselves first of all. Share with others that they might obey. We need to live lives of example and teach in a way that we can lead others to understand that this is the truth. This is God's word. And that if you'll turn to it, you can turn away from religious error. So religious error is dangerous. It always has been, and it is today. So it is possible for us today to live in religious error, and we want to avoid that. So let's go back and look at some of the Old Testament examples we have, recordings we have that show that many times there were people who erred from God. They were condemned of God because they did not obey Him. It's possible to offer up worship to God that He will not respect, so we can be in religious error in our worship. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, the sons there, we had Abel and Cain, and they offered up sacrifices to God. One brought of the fruit of the ground, one brought of an animal sacrifice, and one sacrifice pleased God, and the other didn't. With Cain's sacrifice, God was not well pleased. He was displeased with his sacrifice. Of course, we know the event that happened. Cain became angry. He took the life of his brother because he was angry, being rejected of God. And so could have been a lot of things in that affected that. But the thing is, we know that the sacrifice that God accepted was one that God wanted him to have. And Abel had the sacrifice that was acceptable to God. So it lets us know the main thing in these verses is that God will not accept any kind of worship. God will not accept any type of sacrifice. God will accept that which pleases Him. And the good thing is that God lets us know in His word what type of worship we're required to offer up. He lets us know what pleases Him. And if we practice that, then we can be pleasing to God in our worship. Today, we basically have five things that we do in our worship when we come together, and we know what those are. And we do those things, and we're to do them in spirit and in truth, in understanding and in love toward God. And we're to do them in a manner that's orderly, so that all may be edified, that God may be glorified, and that we then may offer up a service to God that is what? Acceptable. So worship can be acceptable to God if it's the proper sacrifices, if it's the proper elements, done with the right frame of mind, and it involves the things that God requires of us to do. And we can find that in His word. Well, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, offered up a strange fire. Some versions say profane fire. unauthorized fire, basically before the Lord, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. We know the Levitical priesthood. They were able to offer up sacrifices, but these two offered strange fire. So not a whole lot needs to be said about that to know that any fire that was not according to that which God had authorized them to give was not acceptable to Him. So in worship, what we offer up and who offers it up is important. And so they were condemned because they offered up unauthorized fire with their sacrifices. And so these are just two Old Testament examples that point out the danger of doing things presumptuously or out of line from not what God has asked us to do, just doing it and not thinking before we act. And sometimes we think before we act also, we end up doing the wrong thing also, as these did. And so in both cases, they were unauthorized. So it is possible to offer up unauthorized and unacceptable worship to God, just as it is possible to offer up unauthorized work in our lives as individuals and in the church to God. So we can go to God's Word and find the truth on what to do. King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 14, he offered up an unlawful and unauthorized sacrifice. They were preparing for war. They were gathering themselves together. Many of the people had fled and gone into the caves, and some of them were following Saul, and they were very afraid. And so what was going to happen? Well, Samuel had told them that after so many days, I'll be there. Well, Samuel told Saul that, and Saul is waiting. And there we find in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 14, that as he waited, he took it on himself, when Samuel did not come, he took it on himself to offer up sacrifice to God and before the people and for the people. And so number one is he wasn't authorized. And number two is he did something presumptuously on his own that someone else should have been doing. And so we see that God is in his mercy and grace and infinite wisdom. He gives us the ability to know what our sacrifices are to be, who are to offer them up, when we're to do it, and what it consists of. And we can find that today in God's Word. But if not, we may end up somewhat like those in the Old Testament did, of offering up sacrifice that was not what? Not authorized. We offer up strange worship. Worship that's been contaminated with other things that's not supposed to be in it. All worship can become tainted because thus something's left out of it that's supposed to be in it. For instance, our worship, we're to sing praises to God, making melody in our heart. Paul explained that explicitly in two chapters to the Corinthians, and we're taught that our singing is that way. Everything in the New Testament from Matthew through the Jude talks about the fact that they either sang, they sung, or they were singing. And so we're to sing hymns to God, making melody in our heart. But we can corrupt our worship. We can have unauthorized worship by adding to that and singing and playing an instrumental music, which is not authorized. So to stay in the right relationship with God and offer